Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dishing Drama with Dana Wilkie Uncensored. We have officially moved to Patreon. Here's a sneak peek of Dishing Drama with Dana Wilkie.
Come on, bitch, let's go.
Oh my gosh, nothing better than a collab.
Right? Hello, Dana. How are you?
Hello, Real Andy of Beverly Hills. I'm so excited to be doing a show with you today. It's been a while.
I know. I mean, last time it would have been probably like 6 months ago, I think so, or around that time. Girl, I have missed you so much.
I missed you too. I can't even tell you. There's been so much stuff happening in your world. I heard like at some point you thought that maybe a housewife tried to demonetize your channel and all this stuff. And I was like, what?
Yeah, so many things happen. I'm still are like 95% sure, you know? I'm like Garcelle Boyve, you know, like I cannot prove it, but in my heart of hearts, I know who it was.
Well, you know, another influencer recently said that she thought that someone had demonetized her channel from the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Yeah. And I was like, wow, is this like a thing now? I don't know. Is it YouTube's new regulations about, you know, sexually oriented content, or is it truly a housewife that's coming for the micro influencers on YouTube?
It's just like some of these people that, I mean, they don't want anyone talking about them, and then they go on a reality show. My thing was, I mean, my case basically at the very end, after I got remonetized and I talked to YouTube again, At least I got them to tell me from their own words that it was like they will say their mistake and that I actually didn't do anything wrong, you know? So I was like, oh, so you demonetized me for a month when I didn't do anything wrong? Like, how does that work? You know, like I lose a bunch of money over that, of course, you know? And
of course. What? You're like, that's my business.
Yeah, that's my business. And also when you get monetized again, it's like you're starting your YouTube from zero, not on subscribers and stuff, but it's like the algorithm throw you out, you know? So you have to like build that momentum with YouTube again in order for YouTube to like start sending your videos to everyone all over again, you know? So the views go down, the watch time go down, like it's insane.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. That sucks.
Yeah, but I like, because I know like the first time when it just happened, I was able to talk to, because YouTube won't give you answers, you know? They're pretty much like, this is it, deal with it, bye, see you in a month, you know? And I was able to talk to some people who actually work over there, you know? And the whole thing of why I think I know who this person was is because I was able to get like a list of the videos that were reported, and they all were about the same person.
Wow. Know? What franchise were all the videos related to? I'm sure you don't want to call out the person, but what franchise was it related to?
It was the Real House of Beverly Hills.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh my, could this be a conspiracy? Oh my gosh.
I mean, I'm like, why? Like, why? And the worst part is like, I'm nice, you know? I'm not going around on my videos like calling people names or any of that other, you know, people do. So I'm like, it's not my fault that you are doing all these shitty things and then you don't want anyone talking about it. Like, it's so weird.
Well, I had only one video demonetized by YouTube during their sort of terms and conditions restructure. Mm-hmm. And that was a video that I did where I talked about Louis Ruelas and how all of this gossip came out that he was involved with like some sex groups in Boston. Oh, wow. And I wondered if he had like enrolled Teresa in like something like that in New Jersey, and their symbol was like pineapples, because it turns out that pineapples are like a way for swingers to identify each other.
Yeah,
I was like, could this be like this whole pineapple thing they talked about on Real Housewives of New Jersey? Could it be a bigger thing than we think?
They are recruiting all the pineapple people from around the world.
They're trying to say like a secret cry for help that they're swingers. Yeah. I don't know. You know, I mean, yes, of course, it also is supposed to make, you know, your body parts taste better. But I'm just saying, you know, I don't know what the thing has been lately with, you know, that. Did you hear about the popsicle in Real Housewives of New York?
Yeah, I was like, what were you doing with that?
Yeah, I know. That was so odd to stick a popsicle in your coochie. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just odd. Anyway, turns out it's a thing also that nobody knew about. Actually, there's warnings to not do that online. So who knew that, you know, they had to actually publish a warning about it?
Maybe to humans to be, you know, a little bit curious about anything. Food and their bodies.
That's right. Yeah. I know. Okay. So a few really exciting things happened, which I wanted to talk to you about. And I know you wanted to talk to me about this week. So I thought what we'd do is hit a few really like phenomenal gossip points that came out. Feel free to add any as I talk about stuff.
Let's do it. Let's talk about this mess. I mean.
Yeah. And then I thought we would do a Vanderpump next season spoiler episode, where we like basically spill the tea on Vanderpump next season.
let's do it, because it's like we already know everything that is going to happen next season.
Yeah.
Like, there is no secret.
Exactly. So you definitely want to tune out of this show when we hit that part if you don't want to ruin the storylines for next season, right? Behind the scenes.
A spoilers alert.
Yes. Spoiler alert. Yeah. Okay. So first and foremost, Nene did a YouTube interview with Carlos King. I think he also aired it on his podcast. Carlos King was one of the producers of Real Housewives of Atlanta, came up with Nene Leakes, and they have a very close relationship, which is why she chose to do this interview with him. And in part two, which just came out on August 1st, Carlos asked Nene what she would like to tell Andy Cohen. And this is what she said.
Andy Cohen is watching right now. What is it that you would like to say to him?
Hi, I heard you had two babies now. Congratulations, you have a girl. That's amazing. I always knew you wanted to be a parent, Buttercup. I don't have any hard feelings. You know, at one point, you know, I'm a Sagittarius. So at some point, you know, I may be mad with you, but then I get over it. Mm-hmm. I'm not the kind of girl that carries a grudge or hold the grudge forever. I'm also not an ass kisser. Again, I'm a Sagittarius, so I don't generally kiss ass, and I will not kiss ass. I would just say that I hate that we're in this place. I really wish it was a way for us to find our way back to each other, because, you know, life is short and you just don't want to carry ill feelings for the rest of your life. You don't have to work together. You don't have to do anything, but it would be nice to either just work through the issues. There's been so many people with greater issues in friendships and they work through them. As I said to you earlier, Cynthia and I would never be best friends again, but we have talked and we've worked through whatever issues we have. So when we see each other, we can laugh, we can talk, and we can sit at a table together. We can work together. I think it says a lot about a person when they can't just say, let's just move on. Let's just, we'll work through that moment. And let's just move on, because I honestly don't have any ill feelings. What happened has happened.
It's official. Andy Cohen is the sixth housewife.
Well, look, I have to tell you something. I love Nene Leakes, right? And I do believe that she was the reason why Real Housewives of Atlanta got so popular. And she definitely helped, you know, all of the other franchises of Housewives, you know, like to be out there, because she was a really big part, you know, like she, I mean, how many memes we have just of like Nene Leakes, right? However, I like, I mean, she burned so much bridges, Dana. Like she did so much that I will understand why Andy will be like, I don't know if I want to have you like back. You know, it's kind of like when you get burned by a friend, because let's remember that, you know, NeNe Leakes and Andy Cohen were supposedly very good friends. You know, like supposedly they were even friends like outside of the show. So it was more than just co-workers. And then, I mean, the perspective out there was like, NeNe goes up, she's fired from the show or whatever, because they don't want to pay her more than the $2.7 million that she was making at that time. And then her first thing to do is go around and, you know, start trashing the show, trashing every single person, and of course, trashing Andy Cohen. Now, I'm not saying that I remember doing videos about this. I'm not saying that what she's saying was wrong, because if she felt that she was wrong in any way, I mean, it's her right to like say it. But then my problem with NeNe Leakes is that she was super flip floppy all the time. So it was like first she hated Bravo, then she loved Andy, then she called Andy a racist, then she goes again into saying that everything is fine, and now she's saying that she doesn't have any grudges, and even she says that she will come back to the show. So I'm just thinking, like, NeNe, I mean, you have to just pick a lane, because it just burn bridges with everyone, and changing that opinion all the time is not working. And of course, if she wants not only Andy or Bravo, but like any network to really trust in her again, well, she needs to know how to play the game. I mean, this whole thing, like she's like, oh, you know, like now you have kids, now you maybe like will understand, like I don't hold grudges, like this and that. But every single time she's also doing like this narc little like voice, you know, like being shady a little bit. And I'm like, what's your game here, NeNe? Because I would love to see NeNe back. I think NeNe is needed right now, because Atlanta is like dying, right? But it's like she like I don't know. It's too flip floppy all the time, and I don't know if it's the desperation, or I don't know if she needs the coins, or like what is going on. But like she definitely, I think she should do a different approach if she ever wants to return to Bravo.
Very good. I mean, that's a really, I was listening to what you were saying. I saw NeNe as sending subliminal messages to Andy Cohen in that speech. Number one, she calls out, congratulations on your kids. And she says, now you have a daughter. She calls out the daughter because she's trying to throw shade that what Andy does to women on the show is upsetting. And now he should really take a different position on some of the things that he does to women on the show in the storylines. And I think she's literally trying to remind him, now you're the father of a woman, right? Because Andy's been called a misogynist. I mean, let's face it, that's, you know, out there, right? So that was NeNe's wink, wink, number one. Number two, NeNe, I think, knows she can't ever go back to Bravo or NBC because she sued them and settled out of court for being what she called, you know, racist allegations. She said that Kim Zolciak was racist to her, and she complained properly to the network, and they never did anything about it. She said she felt that the network didn't treat her the same as other people on the cast, et cetera. Anyway, she made a lot of allegations in a legal filing, a like formal legal filing, and HR was involved, right? So I don't see anything ever really happening with that, but she seems to be saying another thing to Andy, which I caught, which is, why can't you get over it and make amends and do all this stuff? Well, what does that sound like we have to do as friends of or housewives on every single episode, right? We're supposed to take this enormous event and we're supposed to move on from it and put it behind us and have this talk and let everybody watch it and then chime in on it. And she's basically saying, you freaking hypocrite. You can't put our dispute behind you about something ugly like what I took in this court battle. Okay. You can't put that behind you, and you know, that everyone chimed out upon, but you expect women on Housewives to do it every goddamn episode. So like, screw you, basically. That's what I got. And then she was like, I hope someday we can work together again. But even look who she's doing the interview with, his competition, Carlos King. It's like the whole thing. She is such a strategist. Let me tell you, I partied with Nene. She is fun. She is outrageous and she is bright. I remember she schooled me on reality TV one night. She goes, girl, you've been doing this all wrong. She goes, you're not thinking like a person on TV. You're thinking like a person who's in the real life trying to be on TV. She goes, you have to be a reality star. And she gave me all this advice. And it was awesome advice.
Yeah, the thing is like, look, Nene Leakes, she is... There is a reason why she was so great at reality TV. She knows how to play the game. When she is there, when she was there, she was amazing for that exact same reason. You know, she knows what people want. But to be very honest, I feel like she doesn't apply that entirely to herself because, again, what is the end goal here? You know?
Like, well, I think the end goal is what Bethany Frankel's been teasing, which is they're trying to do a reality union.
Yeah.
A reality star union. And I know that Nene's been talking to Bethany. So I think that, you know, Nene's got her eye on the ball. She's like, look, you know, we all need to play fair in the playground now, because I think a bunch of people are going to demand that, you know, a certain level of healthcare and all this stuff now in the reality world. And I think Nene's end game is that, you know, because remember Bethany brought up residual income for reality stars, which would mean like little people like me could make, let's say, a few grand every time they air the season.
Yeah.
That's really helpful, you know, because every time a season airs, we still have to deal with the backlash.
Yeah, yeah. I think, I mean, look, I love Bethany's idea, and I think it will be a right thing to do, but it will require, honestly, a lot of people to get behind it. And, you know, I feel like with reality TV, many times, especially when they are approached like young people, you know, they are so thirsty for fame and money, you know, that's how they get, you know, they take advantage of everyone because they come to you and they tell you like, hey, yes, we can only pay you, I don't know, $1,000 the first season, but you know, you will be on a reality show. You will get famous. Like a lot of people will know your name. And I feel like when you're young, you don't really care about, you know, the future. You don't really care about health insurance. You don't really care about anything. And the moment that they tell you, you will be famous, they're like, okay, where do I sign? I don't care. Now it will take care. I feel that the union thing, it will be amazing, but it will require a lot of the big, big reality stars to really get behind it in order to make that change. Because if it's not doing properly, they will still find a way to go around it. Or it will never really happen. You know what I mean?
Well, you're given an agreement and you sign it and, you know, you sign your rights away. So I don't know how they would retroactively do it, but at least future people could be protected. Bethany has said that she's spoken to people from Project Runway, Selling Sunset, some other Netflix shows. You know, I know Lisa Rinna was saying that she wanted people not to go to BravoCon, that are reality stars, to show solidarity with the SAG situation. Anyway, I mean, no reality stars are going to want to hurt the fan base. So I don't see that happening. But I do think that there could be some good that could come out of this conversation at a minimum.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I mean, what Bethany was saying, it was so true that how many times we rewatch the shows over and over and over again, you know, and you guys like put your life out there. You know, you make mistakes. Maybe you got drunk. Maybe you, whatever it happens, you know, and it got recorded and it's just going to be there for eternity. So, I mean, why? I honestly, for a very long time, I thought that reality stars will get residuals as well. You know, I have no idea that was not a thing.
No. Yeah. You get nothing. By the way, imagine you're Rachel Levis and your whole life is destroyed. Like literally you can't go anywhere and you're making, I don't know, maybe she was making 30,000 an episode. I doubt it, probably less. And at the end of the whole thing, the season's over. It will never go away. And she isn't getting a residual. That's it. She's forever going to be the Scarlet Letter.
Yep.
It's a big price to pay.
It's insane. Yeah. I mean, I really hope that something happens, but like, it's just like, I see it so much. For some reason, I think it's so much difficult that with actors or, you know, or the writers, because of how thirsty people can be, like I was telling you, you know?
Yeah. No, so, it's same back in the day in Hollywood, right? Same thing. The studios said, you forget it. Everybody wants to be famous. Why do we have to give you rights? But they got them.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's a great idea. I mean, let's see what is going to happen. I really hope that Bethany is going to come through with this, but I don't know.
Who are you telling? I don't get child support. It would really help me out. I mean, yeah. Okay, Andy, before we go into the Vanderpump Rules section of the show today, do you have any gossip you want to spill?
Okay, on anything?
Or? Yeah, anything that you would like, you know, to share.
Well, actually, I did just like did an exclusive today.
I love it. Andy's got the exclusive.
So I got this tea that apparently there is a little bit of drama going on here in Beverly Hills between Dorit Kemsley and Garcelle Boyve. Apparently, it all comes down to the jobs that they are getting, you know, outside of the show, because Garcelle is getting all the good stuff and Dorit is getting the, let's say, less favorable stuff.
Yeah, what has Dorit even done? I've seen Garcelle do Barbie and she did.
That's the perfect example. So apparently, so this it's a whole thing, okay? So apparently, Garcelle's ex-husband was very involved with the first movie of The Haunted Mansion, right? That it just came last weekend. And naturally, they reach out to Garcelle and told her, hey, could you do this promotion, blah, blah, blah. And Garcelle was going to do it until she realized that Tiffany Haddish was actually involved on the project. So I don't know if people know this, but Tiffany Haddish was involved in this sexual harassment lawsuit that involved kids and all of that.
So, Andy, you're right. As usual, there is a Tiffany Haddish sexual assault lawsuit. It says, the Jane Doe lawsuit accusing comedians Tiffany Haddish and Ari Spears of forcing a woman and her brother to separately perform inappropriate sexually suggestive acts on camera when they were minors has been dismissed, according to a filing provided by the defendant's lawyer.
Yeah, so that was a thing. That was like several months ago. That was a thing. Although eventually it came that apparently the girl who was suing them and the mom, they have a story with Tiffany Haddish for like ever. And apparently they only wanted to get money from her, or that's the story that they were putting out there. But anyway, that's not important. The thing is like Garcelle knows Tiffany Haddish's story and she was like, I don't want to get involved in that. So she declined that offer, right? And then she was offered to do Barbie. Now, Dorit apparently wanted to do Barbie, but they didn't give Barbie to her, and they end up giving her the Haunted Mansion. Dorit wanted to get the Barbie thing, you know, but they end up giving her the Haunted Mansion.
Wah, wah.
Yeah. And then she goes on and she they do their promos. This was before the movies were released, you know, so they were like, whatever. I mean, eventually. And then what happens? Barbie becomes the number one movie in the world, you know, super successful. And the Haunted Mansion end up flopping on the box office last weekend. So apparently Dorit has been like very upset, not about the movies, but the fact that she thinks that all the good things are always being given to Garcelle and not to herself, you know? And you know that Garcelle is supposed to be the face of Beverly Hills with Kyle Richards. So like she's feeling like they're pushing her away, basically. And that is creating like some drama behind the scenes.
You still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Yeah, I'm trying to get them on there. Yeah.
Look,
we all artists, man. We go, you feel me? We gonna have this like,
bro, me and my man Kyle, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now. I gotta lie, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it. Take that shit serious.
Wow. Well, it probably hasn't helped that she got sued by that nurse.
Oh yeah.
For not paying her a few grand, I think it was, right? It wasn't a lot of money. Oh, maybe it was 12 grand, I'm thinking. What was it? Do you remember?
Don't remember, but it was not a big number.
Not a big number. And
yeah,
then
it was like, why are you not paying? Like,
yeah. And then they were also suing an insurance company that refused to pay them because their sink got left on by their daughter. I think that's the way they reported it. Phoenix, and she had accidentally left her sink on, and the water overflowed and damaged their gorgeous mansion they live in Beverly Hills. So they're having a rough time.
Yeah, I think maybe they need the money from the insurance to pay the nurse.
Maybe. Could work out that way. Yeah. Hey, times are tough.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I found out some really cool tea that was inspired by a friend of mine who has a show, Goodbye Glam Girls. Lisa Tate. Anyway, her and I talk. I support everybody because everybody has different talents, you know, that they do. And I feel like everybody should be celebrated in this world that we're in, right? As different influencers and podcasters and stuff. So anyway, what I was going to tell you is that she told me that Tom Zizzo, who is Erica Jayne Jordy's first husband.
Okay.
Did you know that he lives in Las Vegas now?
Oh, really?
Yes. So I was like, wait a minute. I knew her son was spending a lot of time, you know, even though he works for LAPD, I knew her son was spending a lot of time in Las Vegas. And I knew that there were rumors of the legal benefactor had like a footprint in Vegas. And there was another sugar daddy that she, you know, helping her out. That owned a big casino that Tom Girardi was tight with that she might have been getting support from. I don't know if there was anything else going on, but you know, everybody sensationalized it with the sugar daddy element.
Yeah.
But the thing is that I was like, gosh, there's like a lot of ties to Erica and Vegas besides her show that we know is coming out like this week, right? In Vegas. Yeah. And we'll play through BravoCon. But I was like shocked because it turns out Tom Zizzo, her ex, lives in Vegas. And not only does he live in Vegas, but he used to own a strip club for women to go to and watch men strip.
What?
Yes. I swear to God, I know. How did I, are you going, how did I miss this? Because I was like, how did I miss this? Okay. I mean, this is why it takes an army to cover the gossip, because really, truly, there's just so much of it. So it turns out, Andy, that Thomas owns a strip club called Mansion Strip Club in Las Vegas. And he owned it from, I don't know, like I want to say 2015 to like 2020. I could probably look it up on his LinkedIn page and tell you. Uh-huh. But it's in Las Vegas. And this is a strip club where women go and experience a fantastic male review of like the best looking dudes. And they, you know, they invite bachelorette parties and all this stuff. So women go and watch men strip, but he owns this club, which is obviously very ironic because they met while Erica was a stripper and he was a DJ back in the day in New York.
Full circle then.
Full circle. But then it also came to my attention that Erica was modeling in her music videos furs. And she was doing this for another Las Vegas company called Juliana Furs. Well, Juliana Furs is owned by Thomas Zizzo's mother.
Oh, wow.
So Tom's mom is Juliana. Wow. And yes, because, okay, Thomas, how do I know? Okay. Because Thomas Zizzo was arrested in New York City for almost an attempted sexual assault on two young girls in New York. You know, he said he was innocent and nothing ever happened, you know, to do with it. But at the time, he was a security guard for a fur company, and that fur company tied to his mom's fur company, which started in the New York area and then transferred over to Vegas. And she opens up in Vegas, and her model is Erica Jane Girardi. She puts it on her website, Juliana Furs, and Erica starts wearing it in her music videos. So she's tight with her ex and her ex's mom this whole time while she's with Tom Girardi.
Wow.
Yes. Oh my God. And then she releases an article in 22 saying that she's getting so close to her ex, Tom Zizzo, again, out of Vegas. And that she's like, surprisingly, Tom has been super supportive during all my legal woes. And, you know, we're tighter than ever now.
Of course they are. Of course they are. I think they have never stopped being close, maybe.
That's what I'm saying. It kind of indicates it, right?
Yeah.
Because I was like, wait a minute. Because, you know, the impression you get of Tom Zizzo, if you don't know this, is that she kind of kicked him to the curb in New York. It was all her fault. She left him and kicked him to the curb and went on to meet Tom Girardi and really didn't have that much interaction with him, you know, and yeah. Really was like a single mom supporting her son, who's now a cop, Tom Zizzo. Yeah. And that she was like, had to be with Tom Girardi to support her son, right? It's kind of like that. But I mean, why would she be doing modeling for his mom, you know, her mother-in-law, her ex-mother-in-law? It, out of Vegas, it just seems like a lot of strong ties to Vegas. Anyway, all very circumstantial, but very interesting gossip, I thought.
The thing is, like, look, when it comes to Erica Jane, now where we are right now, you really have to start like asking like all these questions about everything that she has said on the show, you know, because now you don't know what is true and what is not true. To me, it will make perfectly sense that she's trying to portray herself as this like poor victim, single mom, you know, who had to work so hard. Because if you come like from the beginning saying like, oh, I'm receiving money from everyone, no one is going to really connect with you. And now basically what we're saying is like, oh, maybe there is a possibility that the dad was maybe always there, you know?
Well, listen to his LinkedIn profile. Mm-hmm. He worked at Bail King Bales Bond.
What is that?
I don't know. It was in Las Vegas, though. And he also worked with a company called Hunk Mania for 12 years. yes, Hunk Mania. And Hunk Mania was tied to Hunk Mansion, which is, I guess, another kind of spinoff of, you know, the strip club.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Now, he has a new company now. I heard, which is called like Jet Sales or something out of Vegas. And that does marketing for companies in Vegas. So he's moved out of this, you know, stripper landscape and bail bonds landscape into marketing now.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if she wants to get back with him. You know, like she was done with Girardi. Now it's back to the other Tom.
It's just weird. Anyway, I do think she's spending a lot of time in Vegas now. And there's a lot of roots for her in Vegas that we're not aware of, way more than we thought.
Yeah.
You know, she's very connected. Tom Zizzo was very connected in Vegas. She's very connected in Vegas. Tom Girardi was very connected. And her son's got links there besides his Los Angeles ties.
Yeah. She has to be very connected because when this whole residency thing came on, like, let's be honest, like, how, you know, like, I'm thinking like, this is not like a superstar. This is not like she was on the prime of her career. You know, she is a disgraced reality TV who is having problems everywhere. How a hotel will, or I don't know, wherever she's doing it, is going to be like, oh yeah, I'm going to do this show for you because everyone loves you so much. You know, I have always thought like she must have big connections in Las Vegas somehow to make.
Oh yeah, she definitely does. And I agree with your assessment. It's like against all odds. Now, you know, she's been working with Britney Spears, Lou Taylor.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, there's that. And
she's shady AF also. So
yeah, no, exactly. So she's in really interesting circles anyway. All right. Well, let's go into the Patreon now. What do you think? Your Patreon and mine.
Yeah, let's do it.
For the full scoop, join the Dishing Drama Dana Patreon. The link is in this audio description. It's only $6 a month and you'll get the best information and tea about the things you care about, and even the things you don't know you care about. What are you waiting for?